seen in my days.
The first time I bought, almost bought them, it was like for $165,000. The second time, I can't remember who owned them. I was going to pay $360,000, and I was looking at the Majestic at the same time. And the kid that owns it now paid $1.8 million for them.
Yeah.
The place up here makes about $750,000 a year, and the one in town somewhere about $1.5 million.
People like coffee. All I know is today is nine stamp day. So if you go into the coffee, you're going to get nine stamps today, really. That's a great deal.
Well, I guarantee you, you shop at Dutch Bros, you can get all the stamp days you can get. What's the minimum coffee there, Joe? $5? $4.99?
I just bought a drink for my granddaughter. It was $6.75.
Yeah, my mother and I split one. It was $9 and out of Cave Junction. Some kind of fruity drink. $9.
Pitcher Perfect?
It was Pitcher Perfect, yeah.
That's what they call Pitcher Perfect.
Well, I don't know if that was the name of the drink, but the drink was Pitcher Perfect. Yes, it was. But $9 for a fruit smoothie.
We've been talking about gourmet coffee. We've weaponized coffee, man.
It's 5 cents a cup. The largest importer of coffee in the United States of America is right out here on Ocean View Drive.
Is what?
The largest coffee importer in the United States of America.
Oh, Terry?
Terry does, right out here on Ocean View Drive.
He imports a lot.
Second lighthouse.
So we have that in town.
And he sold his boat because he's too busy.
Okay, we're going to bring this meeting to order.
201.
201, Friday, November 22nd, 2019. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We got a roll call, Danielle.
Joe Spear.
Here.
Jaron Hartung.
Here.
Richard Heath.
Here.
Ken Range.
Here.
Roy Davis.
Here. Do we have any modifications, additions, and or changes to the agenda as written? Thank you. Do we have any declaration of potential conflicts of interest from the board?
No.
No.
Okay, no, no. Can we get an approval of the agenda as written? Anybody want to make a motion for that?
I'm waiting for Joe.
I was just getting ready to.
All right.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as written of November 22nd, 2019.
Can we get a second?
Second.
Danielle, roll call, please.
Joe?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yeah.
Ken?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. I see no public comments before me today or the board. So we're going to move to action item 4, letter A, which is the Curry County lease for the RV park here at the Port of Brookings Harbor.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, yeah. I thought you would.
I will propose a course of action to get this discussion started. I'd like to make a motion, and if we get a second, then we can open this up for discussion.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I move that the Port of Brookings Harbor Commission approve entering into a lease with Curry County for the beachside, beachfront RV park.
I second it.
We have a second by Joe Spears. Danielle, roll call, please.
Now we've got to talk about it.
Okay, but discussion. Discussion. I'm sorry.
This is kind of the, I mean, I thought we should start with a yes or no, run it through again. And if we're going to do it, if it passes, fine, then we'll go from there. But, you know, we've had this in front of us for a while now. I think when it was initially proposed, it kind of took us off guard. Pretty good idea. I've had a long time to think about this. And from my perspective, this is the best course of action for the port in dealing with the development of our RV park. I guess I should say the repair and development of our RV park. You know, we are not in a position to have cash available to go fix that. We're going to have to rely on some grants, which, you know, we would have to pretty significant match to do that. I feel the RV park's in pretty tough shape, and we've got to do something about it quickly. In talking to people around the community, they have expressed some concerns about being involved with the county. I think that is a remnant of some of the past things that have gone on at the county commission, like I'm guessing. But that's an artifact of the past, so I don't think that's germane, at least to me. From the perspective of the port, if we do this lease with the county, we're not gonna just walk away and turn our back and say, well, good luck. I mean, I'm sure that we're gonna stay involved. Maybe I'll speak for these guys, but there's gonna be a transition. It's going to be, it's gonna take some time for the county to get up to speed. So I think in the meantime, we certainly are gonna be involved. We're not just gonna leave.
No.
And if something happens over there, we'll have port staff that will be there to take care of it.
I think the county will have questions, which, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Having said all of that, I just don't see any downside to this.
I don't.
If the worst case happens, if whatever reason the county says we just can't do it, you get the port, the RV park.
And get it back.
So I think this is a positive move, and I certainly would support doing this.
Absolutely. Any other further discussion? Ken?
I agree with most of what Richard said, but I just can see this being another green building. There's no management plan here or master plan that has been presented to us. The ball's in their court. And there's no money, there's no personnel. I've never seen a business plan that doesn't address the financial issues. There's the contract that they've given us, what is there, 14 items here. There's nothing that says, everything is in regards to what the county gets and the port gets as far as the split of profit is net profit. I can make the daily operational costs where there is no net profit. So there either needs to be a cap on how much is the operating cost. I just think it's premature to not address the overwhelming issues that are lacking in a business plan before we move forward.
Could I read just something real short to you, please, Ken? Commissioner's job description is to set policy, approve leases, and create economic development. It is not our job to negotiate leases. That is what our manager does. He negotiates the leases. Leases are brought back before the board. The board reviews the leases, either approves them, directs the manager for changes, or approves it, period. That's our job description. Did you have more discussion?
No.
So with that being said, set policy, approve leases, and create economic development. So if we were to approve the lease, that would be one thing in our job description. And number two, we've created economic development for the port. And I'm going on a plan that Gary has been following, which is to not be in business. We're a landlord. Gary proved to me and the prior board, when he got rid of the ice house and the cold storage, there was, I can't remember the exact, I think it was $37,000 a month automatically in the port's account every month, free and clear. The laundromat, the port shouldn't be in the laundromat business. We're a landlord. We have land to lease. This is Gary's plan. I'm just supporting Gary's plan because I've seen it working since he's been here. He called it the three-year plan. Unfortunately, he wasn't here for part of that 3 years, so now he's picking up the pieces where he left off. I'd like to say that I've seen time and time again, great opportunities have been lost and very important bridges have been burned with entities such as the state of Oregon, number one. We are finally a board and an entity and a port that is back in the good graces with the state of Oregon. We're making our payments. We're communicating with the state. Good things are going on at the state. Absolutely good things. So I think what maybe has happened here, maybe the county is looking at, you know, they have a new board. They're working very hard. They have a new director, parks directors, people who are in the business to professionally manage and develop RV parks, such as we're talking about today. I would like to say that the RV park is just one avenue that the county has offered a helping hand here recently to our port, such as our sediment, our sidewalks. They're looking to help us get sidewalks, lighting, emergency mitigation plan. Is that what it is, Gary? Mitigation or litigation?
Mitigation.
Emergency mitigation plan. Gary was up at the county yesterday with the county officials working on that. And good grief, we know we could use a little help at our RV park. So I hope this board to help. We need help, I hope. Yes, Mr. Bash.
I would hopefully like to give the board a little bit of comfort. I hope the board sees that you currently have a board that is proactive in what we're trying to do here. We are trying to recreate a relationship between this port and the county that has been let down for years. Our parks department has worked hard on this, and I think if you look at the improvement of the parks department just in the last year or so, you'll notice some giant steps forward in the way things are being done. Ms. Schmelzer, as Director of Operations for the county, is a breath of fresh air with her out-of-the-box thinking as well as mine. Things are moving forward in the county, and so many relationships as we've held county leadership meetings have been destroyed or hurt deeply because of the failures of past boards. I can't tell you what future boards are going to do. I can't tell you how they're going to handle this issue, and that's something for this board to consider. I will say that the contracts that I sign with you, that myself as the lead for the Board of Commissioners for Curry County, I will give you my solemn oath that I will do everything I can do to protect that contract, and there will be no wrong done to that contract. I appreciate you guys all coming up to the county and working on this, going through the workshops with it, and there's been a lot of thought gone into this. It's just wasn't something we just decided to jump on board with, and I fully support parks on this. I fully support all the work that's been done on this, and Curry County looks to get this port to again trust the county and the people that are currently at the reins of that organization to work together with you and all we can do to make this port the shining star that it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
A question.
Questions?
Yes. I know you support this and the county commission does, and I just want to make sure that that support would include hiring additional personnel for the park department if necessary to run this. I think it's going to be necessary.
I think Ms. Schmelzer can talk on that if you want to come up. I do want to say, though, and another thing, you know, to kind of solidify the county's promise to you, we had some people, you know, Gary came up, Roy, you came up about some issues with the drainage lines, and we didn't ask for blame. We said, let's do this together as a team. Let's fix this. It's already being done. So that was an olive branch to this port to say, we are wanting to work with you. We are wanting to all come together as one again. So I hope it was seen as that from your side as well.
Sure. Director Julie Schmelzer, I just want to speak on the staffing matters. So Josh and I have had conversations about what staffing he needs if the county manages the port's RV park, as well as the staffing needs if we take over Social Security Bar or even McVeigh Park. And he does have staff that works on a seasonal basis right now. We've talked about moving them to full-time basis, what then includes and how that can fit into the budget, as well as some creative options. There's options out there such as hiring ARP members and people like that to help with some of the day-to-day duties as well. But the Parks Department is one of the few departments that is not, has really never had a financial issue. They get the RV funds, they've managed their money well. It's pretty much a self-sufficient department, and they have the money in the budget to hire the staff. We have not hired staff because right now we have two parks, so it doesn't make sense for us to add additional staff at this point. As the park system increases, we add more employees. I would just like to comment too on the business plan. We are more than happy to take your business plan that you have for that RV park and work with it. I have asked Josh not to proceed with a business plan because we're not going to invest the time unless we know for sure we have the RV park. He has laid out what I thought was a pretty detailed explanation of what he had in mind and how things could work. But if a business plan is what you want, after we have an agreement, we will be willing to invest the time into a business plan. But at this point, it's really not a good use of resources if we don't know for sure we're moving forward. Are there other questions for me?
Sure.
Joe, I'm fine.
Okay, I'm going to head to the other meeting.
Any questions for
me? I don't have a question, but I do have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not opposed to the county parks taking over the RV.
Sure.
I think it's a wonderful marriage. But I do have a problem when we're talking about an interdepartmental transfer of money, how much, how long, the interest rate. You have not presented to us any kind of a management plan as to what your long-term goals are. You haven't presented, you know, how the transition will take place. That's a key. I don't want to see us in a position where we have to take the park back.
Sure.
I mean that, and these are questions I have that I think should be ahead of the lease. If the rest of the commissioners don't believe so, that's fine. But I would like to see answers to those questions. And if you want me to come up and meet with Josh and you and answer those questions for me and bring it back to our board, I'd be more than happy to do that. You know, we have a motion and a second, so.
I might suggest, I'm prepared to make a second motion depending how this turns out.
Mm-hmm.
And in that second motion, I think that's the time to get more into some of this kind of discussion, the detail.
Correct.
We're going to do that. So I guess that with that in mind, I'd call a question.
Okay. Any further discussion from the board before we do a roll call?
Sure. Well, I have a comment, Mr. Chair, on what you said about the ice house and the cold storage. I don't think it really compares with the RV park because one was not even bringing in any revenue, and the RV park is. So I don't see the match there. Also, I don't know, I have a hard time giving up 30 years of revenue on something that's made money. And it's just a shame that with the money that it's made, it hasn't gone back in to it. And it's had to evidently support the rest of the port. So I don't know what the port plans on. I just don't understand how we could give up something that is a money-making operation.
I'm trusting the manager, myself, and his plan. And the ice plant and the cold storage may not be a perfect match, but I would assume that we don't have to put any, we don't have to pay for any perks, we don't have to pay for any workers' comp, we don't have to pay for any labor, we don't have to pay for any improvements, we don't have to pay for any maintenance. All that money that's being put back into that RV park every year, or not being put back into it, either or, it doesn't make any difference. Those dollars will automatically show up in the port's banking account, automatically.
Mm-hmm. And on August 20th, at one, we had, evidently, we must have thought that we could have moved forward with the phases, and phase one being the bathroom, and then continuing on from there. And so we all voted unanimously to move forward on that. So if we weren't able to do that, why would we have done that?
Well, I don't think we were able to do that. We agreed to move forward, But the money, the grants and the loans and all that were never in place, never.
Well, Gary did bring us back a loan that was there.
We had phase one, we were gonna get a loan to do the bathroom. Phase two was betting on some.
Right, I have it right here.
I guess I view exactly what you said in a 183 different perspective. We have not been putting money into that RV park.
No, we haven't.
The lie here is that revenue taken in on the RV park will go to the RV park. So I think it accomplishes what you're talking about, much better than we've been able to do. So this looks to me like that's exactly what we're getting. So again, I'll call a question, which is that we vote yea or nay to enter into an agreement.
So we've got a motion and we've got a second. Danielle, could we get a roll call, please?
Wait a minute, there were two motions, so clarify for me what the motion is.
Okay. This one is just that, yes, we'll enter into agreement and then we'll go to the second one.
Ken Range?
One more. But it's subject to approval by the board.
Yeah.
What's that?
The agreement.
Yeah, it always will.
Okay. Yes.
Well, wait a minute. The details, we're talking about, this is the agreement. The details will be in the second motion.
Second motion.
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Sharon?
No.
Joe?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Ready for motion?
I make a motion that we direct the port manager to work with the county staff to negotiate the lease agreement. And we know that's going to be brought back to us for review and final approval. So if this motion is seconded, then I think this would be the time to open up discussion here for things that we would want to make sure we see in the agreement.
Looking for a second, Richard?
Yeah.
Can we get a second on Richard's motion?
I'll second it.
Roll call, Danielle, please. No. Oh, discussion. Discussion from the board. Ken?
That question again, if we're going to be doing a loan from the road department that we are partially responsible or 100% responsible for, I'd like to know how much, how long, what the interest rate is. Will 100% of the money be spent on the RV park, and is the county parks responsible for the loan, or is the port responsible for the loan, or is it split 50-50?
Could I ask that Josh be able to speak to that, because a lot of that language is in some of the paperwork already. Thank you, Josh.
Yep. Josh Hopkins, Curry County Parks Director. So as we spoke the first meeting back with when we had the workshop on the county level with the Board of Commissioners about moving forward with this, we mentioned that, yeah, they were interested in doing the road loan. That question was brought up during that meeting, and in that question I explained that the road loan is an inter-fund loan between one county department to another. The port's not on the hook for that money if something falls apart, because that's our department borrowing that money from another department. So as far as the interest rate and stuff like that goes on that loan, that would be set by the county commissioners. I talked to the roadmaster about it. He's kind of on board with whatever interest rate they feel is just. I know that currently, I believe, Commissioner Posh mentioned it was 2.5%.
2.76 last week.
Yeah, so it'll be somewhere probably north of that, but I had assumed less than what your conventional loan would be through a bank or anything like that. But the main point to get across is that'd be on the county parks to pay for. So 10 years down the road, if that loan's still out there and this agreement falls apart, it's not something we come back to the port for or anything like that. Additionally, that loan was to cover the cost of bringing the restroom on board and I believe replacing five RV sites or
installing five sites.
Yeah, some variation of that.
And demo of the restroom.
Yeah, and the demo and all that type of work. So it was to go directly straight into beachfront RV parks, everything like that, for this whole project you guys were working on.
And that repayment of that loan would be built into the agreement between the port and the county on how we split the...
Yeah, the idea was with this agreement to make it so that neither party was really financially burdened by getting this thing done, and the quickest, easiest way we could do it would be to rebuild the payment structure into it. I put in there that, you know, basically 10% of the net would go towards that loan. It'll knock the loan, because I think at max we were talking about 400 grand, but that was before we had the road department on board doing that work. So if they're doing that work, it's going to be quite a bit less, because it's not a prevailing wage. So your 400 grand's can, I can't really estimate, but I'm guessing at least probably about 100 grand less, just because it's not 130 some odd percent above what you normally be paying people.
You also said at the last meeting, and maybe I misunderstood, there's two issues here. The first one was that the county parks can get $700 to $1,000 per campsite. And originally, I understood that money would be 100% spent in this park. The last meeting, you said that was not necessarily true, if I understood that correctly.
Right here.
So the state RV license fees that come in all of the agreements you've seen in front of you has mentioned that the county parks retains whatever state RV license fee increase we get. That's because that's a payment made straight to the county parks department from the state of Oregon. It's not separated out in between individual campgrounds, so they don't send us a separate payment for Lobster Creek or Boys Cove. It's based off the total number of campsites. And the idea behind this program is the state RV license fees are meant to supplement county park systems to support the entirety of their systems. So while a large majority of that money is going to be going back, because that's what we use to fund all of our projects for virtually anything we do, that's staffing, that's everything else like that, it's not something that we exclusively earmark for a specific park, because that's just not the way the program works.
So in answer, in a little addition to answer Josh's question to you, Kim, our RV park would be getting some of Lobster Creek money. Lobster Creek would be getting some of our money. We'd get some of Boyce Cove's money. You know, all that money would be in their general fund.
In the parks fund, not the general fund.
The parks, that's what I meant. Parks fund, yes, yeah. Josh. I stand corrected. So it's a sharing type thing, is what I'm understanding Josh saying. The Lobster Creek money is not earmarked for Lobster Creek only. Boyce Cove. Lobster Creek money could go to help Boyce Cove. They had a windstorm and their docks got tore up there. Boyce Cove money could go to Lobster Creek. Trees get blown down over the road and destroy campsites and electrical pedestals. You know, Lobster Creek and Boyce Cove and Ovea Park, however many parks the county is offering to run now. That money, if we had a disaster over here, then if they got $5 million in their parks RV fund and we had a major electrical blowout over here, then Lobster Creek money and Boyce Cove and McVay Park, all the money would come to fix this park. So I don't see asking the county to earmark state money that is given to the county. Now we're starting to get into management of the county business, and I don't think that's where we want to go.
I'm just clarifying what he said.
Correct.
Between two meetings.
Correct.
They gave us an estimate right here.
Mm-hmm.
Today, was there not?
I don't think state RV fees are in that. I think that's the 65, 25, 30 based off of your guys' 6-year averages.
It was for the 119 sites, $700, $83,300, 70%, which would be $58,310 toward the Port RV Park, and $24,990 to the County Park Fund.
That was my example of what it could be. That's all it was.
Well, I took it as information that you must have had for there.
Exactly. If it was a 70% earmark.
I would also like to say from a business aspect, I don't know if you've done P&L for the port RV park over the last several years. If I'm running a business and I have no liability and I'm getting 25% a year with no liability, just boom, it's in my account. And then once the loan is paid on that, it goes up another 5%. That's pretty comforting to know that I'm making 25 or 30% on my business without having to get my hands dirty. Mm-hmm. I don't know that the RV park made 25 or 30% profits net over its history. I'm just saying going forward, that's a pretty tidy sum to make. I thought it was very fair.
Josh.
Oh, yeah, I'm just looking down at this thing. So if we were to do it like that, that'd be an estimate. But again, this is an allocation that comes in from the state. They basically let us know, hey, this is what we estimate you guys are gonna get. We might go a little bit lower some years, we might go a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. It just depends on who's paying their RV fees that year, honestly. Because it's based off, I think you guys know whether it's 2 years to 4 years, depending on what your vehicle, what you bought new or not. Mm-hmm. So it kind of depends on who's paying it, and it's also based off of your population, number of campsites, and registered RV users in your generalized area. So the state formula for coming up for this is one that I quite don't understand, but it generally breaks down to about $700 to $1,000.
My perspective, you know, these are the details that we can work out. And so what I'm interested in trying to talk to Gary about is some things that we should include.
Absolutely.
And it sounds to me like one of the things we might want to include in this agreement is some sort of a proportional agreement with the county that says, to the extent possible, you'll spend that money in the proportions of which it earned. In other words, if Voice Cove has 30 sites, then that's how much money they generate. But I'm not going to hold them to that. But I think philosophically, we would probably like some sort of an understanding that it's going to be somewhat proportionate.
That would be, the lease would be drawn up, the draft would be drawn up and brought back to the board. We would review that, and we give it back to Gary with recommendations or no recommendations, approve or disapprove. Martha would be right.
Well, and furthermore, Josh has committed to us that he's going to be coming in here before he does anything to say, here's what we plan to do.
Right.
And I'm assuming at that time you would probably come in and say, we're going to pay for it by using the fee.
Yeah, that's the thing. With the state RV license fees and with the way the campgrounds are currently set, I can tell you that there's not much for us to do and invest in up at Boys Cove because we just redid our restroom. So there's really only minor tweaks that we can do to that facility at this point because we've kind of reached occupancy and like capacity, what we can build up there. Lobster Creek, there's definitely some things that we need to do up there, but those are a lot of basic maintenance stuff that aren't really time consuming or gonna revolve grants. And also we're on the Parks Committee level looking at what we're really gonna plan for Lobster Creek because that thing needs a whole revamp plan itself. So we don't have any necessarily plans right now to invest large sums of money in Lobster Creek until we get like a real idea where we're going forward with that facility. The Port RV Park down there, I could walk through it right now and tell you 15, 20 things that, yeah, you guys need two things. You need a master plan for one, but before that, you guys kind of just need a small scale capital improvement plan where you're fixing your broken pedestals, your leaking pipes, all the weird aesthetic stuff that's not only affecting how your campground looks, but just functionality, whether it's potholes and everything like that. That's where a lot of our focus is probably going to be in the next year or two when we're looking at our grants and everything like that, is getting that type of stuff already mapped out so that when we are like, oh yeah, we're coming in because we want to do this project to get your guys' say, it's basically we're coming in with a shovel-ready type of proposal for you. Because one of the things when we're looking at doing the grants, if we can't get your guys' buy-in, why is the state going to get bought in on it? You know what I mean? So of all of our park systems right now, the one that I would suspect we're gonna spend the most on in the next coming years is the beachfront RV park. Because from a cost recovery standpoint, it's the one that's gonna make the most sense because that's what's gonna drive up our users. That's what's gonna drive people back into the port to do the stuff or to increase revenues. That's what's gonna get our loan paid off quicker. And that's what's gonna make everything more functionality between all the departments and give us more money if we need to go revamp something at another park. So currently right now, you look at Voice Cove as being the flagship that kind of makes most of the money as far as occupancy for the county. We'd be looking to turn the beachfront into that style of flagship because Voice doesn't need the help. Lobster needs a little bit of help, but Lobster itself is more of a specialized camping experience because of the remote group camping style it is.
Mm-hmm. You stated also at the last meeting you listened to your customers.
Correct.
Obviously, we don't listen to our customers. Our customers want a laundromat, they want a convenience store. And every time we talk about this, the laundromat goes out the window. You go to Mill Creek Casino, they make $1,000 to $1,500 a week on their laundromat. You go to Winchester Bay, Salmon Harbor, they make $2,000 a week off their laundromat. I don't care who operates the laundromat. It can go to a private concessionaire, it can go wherever. We're sitting here with $180,000 of Harbor Sound sewage credits. We should be an equal partner in whatever kind of a laundromat goes in. we're providing both the land and we're providing the SDC charges. That's $400,000, any way you want to look at it, that's $300,000-$400,000 commitment. To me, it is obscene not to take advantage, whether you guys do it. I mean, I'm assuming you're going to be running the park, but it's the customers want a laundromat. You go up and you look at, have you been to Salmon Harbor and been in their facility?
No.
Well, you should take the time and go up there and go to the Mill Creek Casino. The people that manage both of those facilities, I've got all sorts of photographs I can give you. For lack of a better term, those are cash cows. And it's also providing a service to your customers. That's it.
Okay.
Josh, in answer to Ken's question, I mean, is that something, I mean, that's pretty obvious to me that that RV park needs a laundromat or a little store. I mean, is that something that see as well as in the vision for down the road to come?
So yeah, that'd be all the stuff that we'd be working on through the master plan. Again, we get customer feedback. A good master plan isn't we got this document, let's get rolling on it. It's a 20-year living style document that basically plots out what you guys are going to do for the next 20, 30 years. Additionally, a good master plan involves all sorts of public feedback. Like when we normally would do a master plan, we'd be having workshops on it to get what our citizens want done at the RV parks. We'd be surveying our actual camper usage. Through our online reservation system, we have the ability to create surveys and send out emails to everyone that's camped at our campground so that they can provide us that type of feedback. Because sitting here saying, yeah, let's put it in a laundromat, sounds like a no-brainer, but then you find out that no, the majority of your campers don't want it, and all you've got is vacant building that no one's using because everyone's going to the laundromat 2 miles up the road. Then it's kind of like, all right, well, what's the point of that? What I can say is I know Jackson County just redid a whole RV park right next to their fairgrounds. And their laundromat, they built a brand new office building that's just a baseline office building. They put vending machines in it because they have multiple convenience stores, and their convenience stores are a pain for them to run. Just so you guys are aware, I did look back at your 2015, 2016 financials off of your vending or your store revenue when you guys had one down there. You were losing money on the store.
Absolutely.
So it's one of those things, once you throw in staff and everything like that, a store may not make sense, especially since you've got stores right down the road, but putting in vending machines that have the toiletries that everyone would need anyways, because you can put anything in those. Putting in gulp sandworms and stuff like that, that's the type of stuff that they provide at their RV park, because they've got a bunch of like fishing ponds right there. That's killing it for them, and they don't have to deal with the operation cost of anything like that. They have a private contractor that comes and stocks that, and they get like 20% over the top of, I think it's like after $100. Their laundromat that's attached to that is just two washer and dryers that are commercial grade. They're making $8,000-$9,000 a month off of those things with just the two of them. They're over 100 site facility themselves. You don't need these facilities that are 15, 20 washers deep. Sometimes just having a normal size building, revamping that and putting in a smaller laundry machine is all you need. Because there is other places for people to do their laundry around here. Additionally, looking into it, you could look to partner with outside people like Hurry and Curry or something like that to provide some sort of back and forth service between different dry cleaners in town. So there's all sorts of different ways to meet that need without investing hundreds of thousands of dollars into some 18 washer and dryer thing that's solely that type of building. Mixed use buildings, definitely the best way to go. And like I said, Jackson County's brand new facility that's clearing $750,000 a year at this point. Its laundromat is two washers, two dryers in a room that's a quarter of the size of this, and they get no complaints and they're just reeling in hand over fist. So these are the types of things you look at when you're saying, yeah, we'd want to look into getting those types of things, but that's all part of the master planning process. Additionally, there's other things to look at. I don't know where the nearest laundromat is to Mill Casino or any of those other things, you know, whereas opposed to here, I know that there's one right up the road. I don't know where the nearest convenience store is to those types of places, where here I know there's one right at the Driftwood, as well as Kathy's, two buildings over, and that's not until Grocery Outlet leaves and goes over the other side of town. So we know regionally where we're at and where your park is located. Because people are going to be out and about, it may not be the best idea to have a full-on market right there when you could put something else in that meets the need for like the people that have missed their toilet trees and this and that, but then you don't have to deal with staffing that or really maintaining it and dealing with all the purchases for that, because you can have a private contractor like Vending West out of Coos Bay come down and handle all that for you. They just cut you a profit check at the end of the day. So there's a lot of things that go into it, but yeah, we would look into doing these types of facilities. It's just a matter of what actually meets the need.
So Gary, it sounds to me like that's where the motion is, to give you direction. Obviously, you know, you've heard the discussions about the type of facilities. I don't think we ought to sit here and try and describe them all to you, but I think that the agreement, that the lease will be one thing, and then in addition, we should have some understanding of how the master planning process is going to work, and you know who's going to do it, some of those things. I have a couple of questions. Excuse me, can I
ask? Absolutely. No hurry.
A couple of questions about the transition period. Now, we currently pay a full-time employee at the RV park.
Yes, we have a full-time and a part-time.
Okay.
And essentially, they're both full-time, with the part-time works in our main office as well. And I don't plan on doing anything with them for a while. I'd rather just see how this transition works, and if they need help, we're going to be more than welcome to help.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that as part of the transition, that once the county actually takes over the operation, that if it works for us financially, we might keep somebody on at least 6 months or longer.
Yeah.
However, you guys work that out.
I plan on doing it.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm just not going to turn our backs on them. I want this to succeed just as much as the county does. Yeah.
Joe, any discussion, Joe?
No, I have no reason to repeat anything that was said, so.
Sharon, any discussion?
Our community, everybody, it seems like, likes to go down there, eat their lunch, watch the ocean, whatever. Are they still having access to this?
Yeah, we don't have anything in place to, for one, we don't have a desire to block anyone's access to it. It'd be counterproductive to the mission statement I shared with you guys at the last meeting, if we're looking to protect, promote, preserve our natural and scenic areas in the county. For two, we don't have any, you guys don't currently charge any sort of dating fees or anything like that.
No.
There's no blocking. It's not like we're gonna lock a gate type of a thing, so.
Okay.
I don't see how us taking over is going to change the access to the community.
We do have a gate. We close it at a certain hour, and then of course it reopens. But I know just a lot of people go down there and park their car, and mm-hmm. a lot of them can't walk, so they sit in their car and view the ocean or whatever. A lot of them walk their dogs, and it's just a very important part of this community.
Aren't we required by one of our grant agreements with state parks to allow public access to that?
I don't know about public access, maybe, but the RV park closes from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. for quiet time, call it.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it's open the rest of the time for public.
But that is how state parks run. Just our nearest one, Harris Beach, is closed from dusk to dawn.
Right.
And that's a standard on most state parks.
For their day use areas?
Pardon me?
Day use areas?
Right.
For day use areas, that is correct.
Yeah.
We're not a state park, Josh, but we are governed somewhat by state park rules because of grants and some of that stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, and actually, the only one that's binding us is about a $600 grant from the state parks itself for some shrubbery over 35 years ago. So might want to look into a little update on that, maybe. Yeah. So anyway.
So any more direction?
Any more direction or discussion from the board before Richard calls for a motion?
We've got a motion in a second, and the motion is to direct the port manager to enter negotiations with the county to follow up this agreement and other details and bring them back to us, and we'll go from there.
Roll call, Danielle, please.
Joe?
Yeah, I thought you said Ken.
No, Joe. Sharon?
I'm going to stay with no.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Okay, so with that being said, motion carries 4-1. There are no informational items today's meeting. We'd like to invite everybody to the next regular meeting date, December 17th, 2019 at 6 p.m. With that being said, there are no other agenda items before us, the board today. So with that, we will adjourn this meeting at 3:43, Friday, November 22nd, 2019.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you.